Welcome to this podcast from the Commonwealth Club of California, a nonprofit, nonpartisan forum open to the public. I'm Gloria Duffy, President and CEO of the club. To learn more about events or membership, join us online at commonwealthclub.org.
Good evening and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California, the place where you're in the know. I'm Dr. Kit Yarrow, chair of the psychology department at Golden Gate University and a professor of business. This program is being held in association with the Commonwealth Club's Business and Leadership Forum. Find us on the internet at commonwealthclub.org or download our iPhone and Android app for program and schedule information and podcasts of past programs. And now it is my pleasure to introduce today's distinguished guest, Dr. John Gray, noted relationship expert and author of the new book, Work With Me, The Blind Spots Between Men and Women in Business. Dr. Gray gave us a metaphor that saved marriages and strengthened relationships. He opened a dialogue about the differences between men and women and helped us understand each other better. His book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, is the best-selling relationship book of all time. He's written 18 other books, and today he's applying those insights to the business world. Okay. Our thanks to Dr. Gray, noted relationship expert and author of the new book, Work With Me, The Blind Spots Between Men and Women in Business. It's time now to begin our program. Dr. Gray?
Thank you all for coming tonight. I want to thank the Commonwealth Club for continuing to invite me back again and again. This is a great honor for me, and I'm a local here because I live in Marin County. It's a great pleasure. I just flew in from New York today where I was doing the beginning of this book. It just came out this week, a couple of days it's been out. And I'm going to read little parts of this. I find that if I read sections of the book, then people buy more books. So I wrote this book with a co-author, Barbara Annis, who has developed workshops with me, and she's taught these workshops and a team of people to over 60 Fortune 500 companies, and this book is the outcome of that. We did a survey in all these workshops that we've done. Over 100,000 people filled out the questionnaires and the surveys, and so we just report that, and then we make our comments on that. And so I'll report some of those things that we found. And as we look through all the responses we got, not surprising to me, we take, at the beginning of these courses, we take men in business and women in business working together at all levels of management, all the way to top level, all the way to all levels, and put them in different rooms, and the women write their complaints about men, and the men write their complaints about women, just to see what comes up. And the first thing that we notice is that women have 7 times more words. Okay? They do. Men tend to keep... They're bullet points, bullet points, bullet points. And women are like descriptions. And this is one of the big distinctions between men and women. And doing the CBS morning show today, yesterday, it was 3 women and Charlie Rose. And so I'm talking with the women on the show, and then Charlie says, "So John," almost hits the gavel, "so this is like Mars, Venus in the workplace, right? Just Mars, Venus in work." I said, "Yes." And then he goes, "So what is the difference between men and women?" As if there's one difference. 15 books I've written, I'm going to condense it down to one statement. So I hit the nail on the head for Charlie in that moment. I said, "Well, Charlie, women, and particularly in the workplace, when we're making decisions, important decisions, women have a greater tendency to want to ask everybody's point of view. Let's talk about this. Let's explore everybody's point of view. There's an inherent knowing, wisdom, of the importance of diversity. When you bring people together, something better will result." And so they'll ask more questions. And men will be a part of that, and very quickly a man has a little stopwatch and says, "We've talked enough, let's do something about it." And Charlie goes, that's it. "I just want to do something. Let's stop talking and take action." And that's often one of the distinctions that happens between men and women. And a lot of this is under the surface, because in the workplace, women don't always feel the safety or permission to say that. Is that whereas in a personal relationship, it's like we don't have to put on certain airs, so we can hear a lot more about men and women's differences. But the reality is, when men and women go to work, they're still men and women. They still have certain brain wiring, certain hormonal differences, and those play. They're there, but they're often heavily guarded. So it took a while to come up with this, a long time, to really see how the differences show up in the workplace. And the number one place is, the way we kind of summarize these differences is, in one context, is blind spots. So this is 8 common blind spots between men and women in business. So what is a blind spot, first of all? A blind spot is, most of us think of a blind spot in terms of we're driving our car and we're changing lanes, and we can see all around us and we can change lanes, and suddenly we get bumping into another car. So to avoid that, we know there's a blind spot. I can't see it, but I know what I can't see. And that's what's missing today in the workplace, is that there are all these blind spots, but we don't know they exist. We don't know to look for them. Imagine you had a pot of gold in your backyard and you're looking everywhere else for gold. Instead, if somebody comes along and says, you know what, you got a pot of gold in your backyard, you just have to dig for it. That's what I feel the outcome of this book is. Somebody said, why'd you write this book? Is I feel there's a pot of gold in every business that's not being utilized. And Warren Buffett said it just this week, even better than I've said it. He said there's a bright future for America because we've led the world with innovation, creativity, and we've only been using 50% of our potential. The work world has been designed by men for men, but not against women, because women weren't there. So there's no battle here. It's just, it's designed by men for men and not for women. And that has to change. And if we can change that, where we realize there's a pot of gold in what women offer to the workplace that we're not seeing, it's a blind spot, then we have 50% more potential. We can begin to experience 100% potential in the business world, in politics, everywhere in our lives. We've had decisions being made by men outside the home and decisions being made by women in the home primarily. And suddenly, that's all changing. We're at a time in history which is huge in terms of the shift that's taking place. And what this book does is helps facilitate that shift. And the timing of this book, we've been working on this for 3 years and 10 years in the making. And the timing of this couldn't be better, because right now, Lean In is the biggest selling book in the country. I'm happy to say I just looked on Amazon's bestseller list, and in the category of business and women, we're next to Lean In. So that's good. We're getting there. With your help, we'll get there faster, okay? But Barbara, who I wrote this book with, is now teaming up with Sheryl Sandberg. She's talked about this, because Sheryl says she wishes she had read this book before that book. Because what Sheryl says in her book, I'm talking about the problem. I'm not really giving you solutions. She'll say it right in the book. I'm really not giving you any advice, although I'll give you a little advice. Is we don't have the answers, but we need to understand the problem, which is a thing women want to do. Men want to get, what's the solution? Let's get right to the solution. And she is, in a very feminine way, saying, let's understand the problem. And now she sees this is the solution. And that's what we say. Gender intelligence. It's a new thought. I'll say it again. Gender intelligence, not IQ, not emotional intelligence, gender intelligence. What is it? Gender intelligence is an awareness that it's able to interpret differences between men and women in a positive way. Now, what we've achieved over the last 50 years is enormous in terms of male-female equality in the workplace. It's enormous. It can be better, but it's enormous, huge. We all see the show Mad Men. We see how that, I mean, that's how men work. It's like, what could she say? What could she do? You know, oh my gosh, she's a secretary. So it's huge. Now we see women running corporations, women making huge, fantastic decisions. I just had a meeting with the vice president of Federal Express, and they want to incorporate gender intelligence into their company. And he's basically saying, I don't go anywhere without 5 women in his private jet. He says, I even told my wife. I didn't think to. He doesn't make any decision without asking what their opinion is, what their opinion is, what their opinion is. And he was telling that because I was telling him my growth of gender intelligence. is I don't make any decisions without consulting at least three women in my office that work with me. And then I'll have, of course, test marketed my ideas as well. 80% of the business market, who spends money in the world today? Women. They're making all those decisions. Men primarily make decisions at home. Primarily, the motivation for men at home is, what do I have to do to make her happy? So, it's like women are doing the whole thing. I remember I wrote Men from Mars in 1992, over 20 years ago, and they was hired to consult with the banks. And you'll see back in 1993, 1994, 1995, the whole advertising started shifting to, we're not just a bank. We want a relationship with you. We know your name when you come in. We care about you. We understand you. Because these are the values that if you put that message out and you follow through, women feel, oh, I want to do business with you. It increases trust. So it's learning, and eventually the business world will change. This will just help it change faster. Because men adapt to whatever's going to make money. That's what their primary motivation is. And it's not that we don't care about love, being a relationship expert. I see this every day. Guys are deep in their hearts. They want love. Women often complain, well, then why don't men buy relationship books? And I said, they buy more relationship books. It's just in a different section of the bookstore. It's called How to Make Money. Because that's the motivation. And I am sitting here with my guest, Warren Farrow, who actually shared that idea with me first. He even goes further. He says, you know, women, they love a guy carrying your book around, John. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. But if you're in an unemployment line, they have no interest in you. A balance. What we all want is that balance. And women want that balance in their man. Men want that balance in a woman. Every father wants his daughter to be successful. I have three daughters, four grandchildren. And they all have their careers. And now they're doing the whole thing of balancing their career with their babies. And it's the challenge that women are facing today. And if I could summarize it, because it's a big question. And Cheryl talks about it in her book, Lean In. And the way she talks about it is that one of the biggest mistakes the feminist movement made was to say a woman can have it all. A woman can't have it all. Don't expect to have it all. And that's not my point of view. My wife has it all. My daughters have it all. Just not at the same time. We can all have it all, but just not at the same time. If you're a woman at work and you're feeling guilty because you want to be breastfeeding your child at home, if you are, then listen to those feelings. If you don't have those feelings, fine. There's no right and wrong here. The right is what you feel is good for you. And all of my work over and over is for women to experience personal fulfillment in life and greater success. If you follow your heart, if you follow your feelings, if you do what you want to do, what you like to do, not what somebody says you should do, what you feels good to you, that is the right path for you. In this book, I explain that, the actual science of that. Whenever a woman is doing what she enjoys doing, what she likes to do, which is fulfilling for her, a hormone gets produced in her body called oxytocin. Now, it's the last 8 years. This has been a huge shakeup in the whole gender science. Because what they discovered is the hormone oxytocin is the hormone that lowers stress in women. It does not lower stress in men. Now think about that. Certain activities you do increase oxytocin. And that makes you happier as women, more fulfilled as women, more motivated as women. It lowers your stress levels. It's measurable that your cortisol, the stress hormone, goes down when oxytocin is up. What creates oxytocin? Shopping. It does. Big art. Now, here's the difference. If you're in a hurry and you're shopping, it doesn't. If you're not in a hurry and you're shopping, you don't like shopping, it's certainly not going to do it. But it's something many women like. Not all, but many women like to shop. Shoes. Shoes create oxytocin. Just picking out, what shoes am I going to wear tonight? Oxytocin goes up, and the unaware husband, she's standing there looking gorgeous. He says, come on, honey, we're in a hurry. We got to go. He missed a huge oxytocin moment. Now, that's the personal side of it. I do get into some of the personal side of it in here. I talk about the same things in the workplace, how sometimes they apply at home. Sometimes I apply as a parent. It's a very well-rounded book, but the emphasis is on business. How to make more money. If you want to make more money, be more successful in the workplace, women are bringing a new insight that's not there before. The new insight is personal fulfillment combined with effectiveness, productivity, and efficiency will create greater productivity. This is the intelligence that women bring to the table, which is, wait a second, this is not a positive environment. How can we make this environment better? How can we make working conditions better? You see, for thousands of years, women have had permission to complain. Men don't. That's the rules of the workplace. You suck it up. You don't complain. Now, women are there. They're saying, there's a lot to complain about here. There's a lot of injustice here. We gotta clean up this mess. I first coined this phrase in Men Are From Mars. Is that women have this unique gene. Men have the gene, Mr. Fix-It gene. Anytime there's a problem, I gotta fix it. If there's no problem, forget it. Don't fix it unless it's broken. Women have a gene that says, if it's working, let's make it better. How can we make it better? It's a nurturing gene. I call it the Home Improvement Committee. When she cares about someone or some business, how can we make it better? How can we make it better? And men will often hear that as obstacle. This is working. Why look at it? And as men grow in gender intelligence, they begin to see that, hey, get on the train. This is what's taken off. These are the companies are most successful. Forbes magazine did a study showing that the companies which had the highest level of equality at the highest level of management in a company had the biggest, most profitable bottom line. And it's not that they just stuck women in those high positions. Those women wanted to get the high positions because the conditions in that workplace, the culture in that workplace was one that was supportive of women, that valued the intelligence that women bring, that was aware of that gold mine, that called it forth. But we can't even know we're missing it. Most men don't have a clue. The amazing thing is women think, are men resistant to these ideas and this book work with me? No. Once men hear it, they go, really? Really? I didn't know. Men are like amazing. We're like a bull in a china shop when it comes to women. We're just knocking things over all the time. My favorite example, I went home to see my mom after many years, after growing up, and she hadn't changed anything in the kitchen. She had six boys, one girl. And I look at the plates. I said, Mom, I'm going to buy you new plates. She said, oh, I like those plates. They were green plastic plates. That's what you have to have when you got boys around. They're going to throw them around. They're going to break easily. The flip side of that, men, if you want a little tip on creating romance, take a woman somewhere where they don't have plastic plates. That's where these little getaways are. You see, there's always extra dishes for somebody to wash that she doesn't have to wash. She doesn't have to feel responsible for anything. This is a big part of this book, is finding work-life balance. Because when women immerse themselves into the workplace, if the workplace is not gender intelligent, which means it appreciates what women bring to the table, it includes women in a way, it doesn't step on women's toes all the time, they don't feel thrown around like plastic plates. When a woman is in a workplace like that, her stress levels go down. But when her stress levels are high, how does she get them down? She has a personal life that generates oxytocin. So that's part of our work-life balance. Until the workplace wakes up to gender intelligence, so we have solutions at that point. But with the book Lean In Me, we're talking about a problem. The solution is increasing an awareness of the differences between men and women, defined in a positive way. I know the whole negativity of stereotypes. People say, John, you're stereotyping all the time. I said, no, read my book. I'm just saying what men and women are saying, and they're completely different. I'm just pointing out what is there and how. Why don't we find out why those differences show up and understand them in a positive way? A positive way. Not women can't be businesslike. Here, even one of the blind spots. Oh, I just went to chapter 9. Are men insensitive? The summary on that is women say, absolutely. Men say, some men are, but not me. They all say that. Chapter 8, these are like the different blind spots. Eighth blind spot. Are women too emotional? Women say, no. Men say, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? And the sad truth, this is a complete lack of gender intelligence, is that men are emotional as women, but it comes up at different times. When a man feels powerless to solve a problem, this is there's a physiology, the research is here to back this up. When a man feels powerless to solve a problem, his stress levels go up. And why do they go up? Because he's powerless to solve a problem. Fight or flight happens. And what does the body do at that time? It converts testosterone, which is the take action hormone, which men have 30 times more than women. 30 times more. That's why they're always jumping in. I got to solve the problem, fix the problem, do something about it. That's what testosterone does. Bypass most of the brain to just take action. Whereas a woman, when fight or flight happens, blood flow goes to a completely different part of the brain. The emotional part of the brain. The talking part of the brain. The asking questions part of the brain. Well, let's discuss this first. And a guy goes, there's no time for discussion. There's a bear. We got to attack or run. And so there's his brain reacting differently. And still he's cool, calm, and collected. Like when I drive my car too fast. I'm cool, calm, and collected. Unless I get to a danger point where I feel like this is a little too dangerous or there may be police around. Whatever it might be. Then a man notices that little shift from feeling good to this sort of adrenaline, to this kind of anxiety. What's actually happening as body at that time is dopamine's converting into adrenaline. Adrenaline is turning into cortisol. And in the process that's happening, his testosterone levels are converting into estrogen. And estrogen is now flooding his brain with fear and emotion. Men only become emotional when they feel powerless to get something done. Women can feel completely confident and capable to do something, and yet they'll have an emotional reaction. Has nothing to do with, I can't do it. But when a woman has an emotional reaction, a man immediately assumes, well, she must not be able to handle this job. She got emotional. Has nothing to do with whether she can do the job or not. Has to do with the brain difference. When women have stress levels go up, when there's challenge facing, the way a woman adapts to challenge is by having an emotional response. Her brain has an emotional response which allows her to shift her expectations. When a man has a challenge, a stressful event happens, his brain adapts by having a non-emotional response. So think about it. Think about for thousands of years, I'm a hunter, I'm in danger. What do I learn to do? Quiet. You become very quiet. Your brain becomes quiet and you're ready to act quickly. When women are in danger, what do they do in the community? First of all, if you go to Africa, you'll see what women do. They talk a lot because talking makes noise and noise scares lions away. This is actually what they do. When the guys are on the hunt, women make a lot of noise to keep the lions out. The lions watch to see when the men leave and they go after the women because they're with little children. So this is all built into our brain. You can see the brain scans that this is a brilliant concept right here, women too emotional. No, men are misinterpreting women as too emotional. Because we see it that she's saying, I can't do it. She's not saying that at all. So a way of understanding this dynamic is think about it like this. Men get emotional when the problem is lions and tigers and bears. We all know that one, lions and tigers and bears. Then, and even then, it's only if you don't know what to do about it. If you're a lion tamer, you go into a lion cage, you don't have any fear. If you have fear, they eat you up. What you have is a big piece of meat. They keep that meat, the lions will be very happy with you. So that's a man gets emotional when the problem is big. The research came out in 1995. When a woman is experiencing moderate stress, she will have 8 times more blood flow to the limbic system of the brain. That's the emotional part of the brain. So she has an emotional reaction at a time when a man doesn't. A man only has that emotional reaction when he says the problem is really huge and he has nothing to do about it. He can't handle it. He's got to run. So when a woman has this emotional response, he's misinterpreting it, thinking she's overreacting to the situation. And how many times, women, have you had some guy look at you like you're making a big deal out of this? And she says, I'm not making a big deal. I just want to talk about it. Because guess what? Talking about things lowers stress in women. Why? Because talking about things, when they're stressors, increases oxytocin. Oxytocin lowers stress. In a man's body, oxytocin raises stress. So when you're talking about something, a guy's like, we got to do something. He's even more stressed. And you're going, and it's not about you. See, you'll take it personally. Part of this message in this book is women, so many things men do, you take personally. It's like he did it to you. I'll give you another example of this. That was another question. It's another one of the blind spots. Well, this is one. Do men listen? Women say, no. It's my number one complaint. Men say, what do you mean? Of course I listen. So this is what a blind spot means. A woman says, no, you're not hearing me. And a guy says, of course I'm hearing. I can say what you just said. Huge blind spot. Why do so many women feel men are not listening? Gender facts. 98% of men and women feel communication is important. Though 52% of women, only 52% of women feel heard. 82% of men feel they're communicating well enough to women and believe they're being understood. See, these are blind spots. How can I adjust my communication skill unless I know that women are not feeling heard and there's a mediator in between who explains why she feels she's not being heard? Otherwise, he thinks, what's wrong with her? The point of this whole thing is there's almost like a war between the genders. It's like the women against the men and the women trying to change men. Well, women who've been married, you know you can't change your husband. Why do you think you're going to change the men in the workplace? But there's a new phenomena happening. And it started in 1992 when Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus was published. It is the only book in history of the planet that men read about relationships as much as women. My publisher said, you're writing this book like men are going to read it. Are you kidding? 95% of relationship books are bought by women, not men. And why? Because if you read those books, they often make men the problem. If you make men the problem, they make you the problem for complaining. So how can you create change? You have to learn how to communicate the problem in a way where the man doesn't feel blamed. That's what this book is. We're letting men off the hook. It's a blind spot. He's a bull in a china shop. I know you didn't mean that. Still, you stepped on my foot. And what a difference it does for women as well. Harvard did a study, the difference of stress. If I step on your foot, your stress level goes up. Ouch. If I step on your foot and you think it was an intentional stepping on your foot, 10 times more stress. So when men are like doing all kinds of things which are dismissive, even my partner in this book, Barbara Andrews, she's correcting me all the time. John, you can't say that to women. Really? One of my favorite examples in this book is the second, I'll go to chapter 3 here, second blind spot. Do men appreciate women? This is my favorite story. This is when I actually woke up to gender intelligence. I woke up to the differences between men and women. Even before I married my wife, Bonnie. This is over 30 years ago. It was with my assistant, Helen. Now, what I learned from my talk in Canada to empowering women, only man who ever spoke to this group. She said, you can't say your assistant. Well, she was, but still don't say it. So how about executive assistant? Then we had a bunch of women comment, well, that sounds okay. Well, that's not, you can't do that one. So now she's my associate. No, she's my manager. Okay, so my manager. So anyway, Helen, my manager, I have to rephrase this. And pardon me if I offended anybody because I didn't mean to. See, if you realize no offense is intended, no offense is taken. Let me just say that again. If you recognize no offense is intended, no offense is taken. Such an important thing. Somebody, I stepped on your foot. Oh, I didn't mean to. Yes, you did. And then the other side of this is an old Chinese proverb, more from the Mars planet. To take offense is to offend. So then we get this little war and this tension and resentment going. It's all subtle. It's under the level. But what we see again and again and again is companies are hiring our company to keep women in the company. Women are leaving their countries, their companies. They're... So many women entrepreneurs, they say, I don't want to work with these men. Why do I want to be with them? I don't feel supported. Here's one. I don't feel appreciated. So let's look at what we found in our survey. Women say, do men appreciate women? Not by a long shot. Men say, of course we do. Of course we do. What are you talking about? Maybe some men don't. I do. So I'm here, this wonder. All the women love working with me. And now I'm more gender intelligence than they do as well. But Helen, my manager at the time, had worked with me for several years. I felt so lucky to have found her. She did everything I didn't want to do. She got everything working, so I don't even know what she did. It was like a dream come true. She handled my books. She paid my bills. She got my clients. She scheduled my seminars. She got the halls. She did the publicity. How could somebody do all this? I'm going, this is fantastic. So she came to me and she said, John, I want to quit. Why? I don't feel appreciated. Blind spot. What do you mean? I appreciate you. I don't feel it. So rather than get in an argument, which I suggest there's other options to arguing, what would it look like if I did appreciate you? And she opened my eyes. You would know more what I do. And I chuckled inside and said, that's why I appreciate you so much, is I don't know what you do. I don't have to think about that. I look at the results and it's fantastic. I'm happy. But women, it turns out, want you to appreciate the results, and they want you to appreciate the journey they take along the way. How many women can relate to that? I'm seeing a lot of women nodding their heads. Just having you raise your hands so the guy's going, really? It's like, really? And I'm like stunned when she says that. Blind spot. So I said, well, give me a chance, 2 weeks, and then re-decide. And then she worked for me for another 8 years until she got a job that paid twice as much. So I paid as much as I could. She made as much as me. Okay, so there was, but she was my manager after all. So here she is running my life. All I had to do so that she would now start to feel the appreciation I had for her was take a few minutes. It was not more than 5 minutes. I actually timed it in my head. Just give her extra 5 minutes every day and find out what she's doing and say a few words like, that must be frustrating. It is. Oh, that's so disappointing. Yes, it was. I put so much effort into this. I worked so hard on that. It's just like, and tell me more of your concerns. I don't even know if I want to work with those people anymore. They're awful. And then what did I learn? So how not to be a man who listens? As soon as she was expressing concerns or disappointment, instead of saying, well, then don't work with that guy. Just X him out. Kill him. We're done with it. That's our man's solution. Forget it. She's not asking me to solve it at that moment. She just wants me to hear. Just don't be in such a hurry to fix it that way. Instead, fix the big problem that women are having in the workplace with men. They don't feel appreciated. They don't feel valued. And men think, but I do. I see the result. That doesn't communicate the message. So a few of these gender facts that we have that came from the study. 79% of men feel appreciated at work, while only 48% of women feel the same. 82% of women want to be recognized for their effort in achieving the results. 89% of men want to be recognized for their results. So this is just a distinction. Does it mean one is better than the other? No. One of the most important things about gender equality is the recognition of differences in a positive light, not from the perspective that one is superior to the other. That both can get a job done. Both can produce the results, but to feel good in the journey, maybe there's some differences. And if we can appreciate what each person comes, the strengths they come, which is the concept of diversity trainings. If people are different, let's take time to ask questions. Yeah, here's another asking questions, chapter 4. Are women being excluded? Women say, let me count the ways. Men say, I don't know what you mean. It's a blind spot. We don't realize we're doing it. We might be having a conversation about something that's not appropriate to talk about in front of our daughters. And so a woman walks in the room, we stop talking. How does that make her feel? That suddenly everybody's whispering around her. Men don't even have awareness. He thinks he's being polite and stopping talking. He doesn't recognize there's a human being over there who feels she's just been cut off. She's just been separated. And then she finds out all the guys went to the bar that night and some deals were made. And she wasn't a part of that. Are they wrong for that? No, because those are rules that were created in a work world that was designed by men for men. But it doesn't include women. So many ways that men aren't even aware. And with that awareness, that's where solutions come forth. That's where you start planning, like with my corporate outings. We all get together, the bond. We do things that the women enjoy too, not just some male thing. So that awareness, you want to create that feeling of inclusion with everybody. Learning to value that is such an incredible thing. And one of the ways a man is oblivious of that might be on a working on a team. This is women feeling excluded, blind spot. Everybody's got... Guys, these are things we happen all the time. We don't even notice it. So say I'm sitting at a board table or a discussion table. I've got two guys I'm working with and two women I'm working with. If we're talking about a solution to a problem. The guys are like playing basketball, grabbing the ball from the other side, jumping in there, going, interrupting each other, so forth, to see who can dunk the ball and make the point. And maybe a woman has learned, as Sheryl Sandberg's learned to do that too, but most women didn't play basketball or they haven't learned to do that. They didn't have brothers or whatever it would be, so they might say, hey. She might raise her hand and say, can I say something? And every guy looks at her like, did somebody say you couldn't? Or she's feeling like, hey, nobody's asking me what I think. And men are over here going, completely oblivious that you're waiting for me to ask you what you think. Because on Mars, if we have five guys at the table and four guys are jumping ideas around, one guy's not talking at all. Bill's not saying anything. We don't want to embarrass Bill. Say, Bill, you haven't said anything. You have nothing to say today? Because see, if Bill had something to say, he would have been joining in. He would have been speaking up. So a big thing on Mars is saving face. So we think we're saving face for you when we don't include you. And that's a blind spot. I know it's a blind spot inside of me. It's an automatic reaction. So now that I know it's a blind spot, as I'm making that turn, I go, oh, got to check over here. If I'm meeting with women, it's like a little green light goes off in my head. A red light starts blinking going, hey, somebody's not talking here. Marcy's not saying something. Marcy, what do you think about this? And Marcy might even pause a little bit and then say, well, you know, I think this and this and get going. Because see, what men don't understand about women is that when you put an idea in a woman's head, she has 9 times more white matter in her brain than a man. What's white matter? It connects the gray matter. It's like everything is a network connected. So when you're having a conversation, a woman is bringing a piece of information. She's now comparing it to this piece and this piece and this piece and this piece. And she's remembering how that relates to everything in the past. Because a woman's emotional memory is twice as big as a man's. And when there's stress, 8 times more blood flow goes to the memory. Now she's got to like take this idea, and compare it with this, this, this. A man, it just got an idea, you say it. He doesn't have to think as much about it. Anyway, I say you get the idea. And guys will say things, again, along the lines. I'm reading something now from this page on are women feeling excluded. Guys easily say stuff like this. If a bunch of guys are talking, we easily say, that's a ridiculous idea. Well, what are you thinking? I'm almost done here.
Okay.
That's the last thing I would do. No one's going to buy into that. See, guys do this with each other in our little banter back and forth. A girl walks by, we say something like, what are you looking at? She's out of your league. You're never going to get her. Who are you? We make fun of each other. It's a way of actually building trust that you can make fun of somebody and without taking offense at it. And we test that. So we're over here, we're having no idea. Guy, I think you're wrong. That's a dumb idea. And a woman like takes it in and goes, what does he mean by that? And have I said it before? She internalizes it. She's thinking about this for days. And men don't know that. You say to me, that's a stupid idea. Why? What do you think? My idea is better than your idea. It just bounces off. You see, it just sort of bounces off. We don't internalize. And this is, again, we show the research right here from these big studies that are done on the brain scans. Harvard scientists, neuroscientists are pointing out that men have an off switch in their brain. Women don't. And you know this. You come home, your husband, you see it there where it really turns off. He'll sit on the couch. You say, what are you thinking? Nothing. How can you think nothing, a woman says? That's impossible. It's now proven. Their brain scans on a man when he's sitting, a woman when she's sitting, when the sun goes down. Relax, they say. Just relax. As soon as a woman sits down, you tell her relax. Brain activity increases. And you ask her, what are you thinking? Everything I should be doing, I'm not doing while I'm sitting here. And look at a man's brain. Nothing, no blood flow anywhere except back here. What are you thinking? Nothing. Now we have the proof. It's really true. He's not hiding something. And we can turn it off like that if we're good. And most men learn to have the biology to do that. And it's easier for him to do it. I'm not saying every man can do it really well, but that is one of the skills of a successful male, is to be able to push all the problems to the side, stay calm, focus. But one of the problems with that, when you push everything to the side, to focus on the biggest fire that has to be put out, there's a lot of other fires starting. If you don't have women around you, you're not going to know that, because they'll always point it out. But look at this. And when she says, but don't hear it as an obstacle, go, hey, let me try this idea out. Ask some more questions, and you will grow in your awareness, and you'll begin to appreciate the strengths that women have, as many companies, many leaders and companies who are men have discovered, and others have not yet discovered. And one of the outcomes of reading this book, first of all, women, is for you to realize how many times you're taking offense at things, and there really is not such a big problem, and there's another way to approach it. There are some how-tos here, how to ask for support rather than complain, how to motivate, how to understand things to not take offense. But for men, the point of view is all these opportunities are there and you don't even see it. And quite often you are like a bull in a china shop. And suddenly that's called the increase of awareness, gender intelligence. Together, men and women coming together, we will have more effective, more successful workplace and more fulfillment for both men and women. That's been a really fun time to talk. Now we're going to have a chance to take your questions. And I want to thank you very much.
Okay.
Let's work with me.
Our thanks to Dr. Gray, our relationship expert. And now it's time to take some questions. But first, a little reminder for our radio audience. You're listening to the Commonwealth Club radio program, and our guest is noted relationship expert Dr. John Gray, who's discussing the differences between men and women in business. You can find video of Commonwealth Club programs on Fora TV. Okay, we've gotten lots of exciting questions. We have several bulls out there running through the China Chop of the Commonwealth Club. All right, the first one is, if women are empowered to create a working environment that's more collaborative, what kind of paradigm shift do you predict for corporate America?
Oh, first of all, you'll see women who are automatically leaning into higher positions because they won't feel that they have to sacrifice a personal life to mm-hmm. achieve higher levels of executive authority in companies. Right now, and we've done the study on this, which is so many women that are leaving and not leaning forward to higher levels, you ask them why they're not doing it. And quite often what you hear is, I'm already making enough money. Why do I want to sacrifice more time? I'd rather spend it with my personal life. And often men think, oh, bigger opportunity, more money. I can make that sacrifice because I have a wife at home who's taking care of my children. And so that's how men get lost. Most men, many men, who are very, very successful when they're 80, 90 years old, they look back and they go, I missed out on those beautiful years when my kids were growing up. And they regret it. I read it about over and over and over. It's a woman. I'm so grateful to my wife along my journey who demanded that I be this equal participant at home. The only way I could get her to marry me is to promise I would do that. And so she always holds me to that. So I'm an equal parent at home, an equal person in the house. So I gave her complete control. I'm not saying everybody has to do this, but it's what I had to do to marry her, to get her to say yes. And I had to stick to that, which is if she feels I'm working too hard, I have to take the time to listen and negotiate with her so it's a win-win for both of us. And fortunately, we had the Mars-Venus skills to do that. But it's women bring that awareness of not burning out in the workplace. If you don't burn out in the workplace, you will be more creative, you will be more productive, and we can even look at the brain science of this as well. Because when you're in a chronically stressed space, an environment that's chronically stressed, if you're producing cortisol, blood flow stops to the prefrontal cortex of your brain where you're able to think outside of the box and find a new solution. And as Einstein said, if you try to solve any problem on the level that created the problem, you won't be able to get out of it. You've got to get to this front part of the brain in order to think differently, to rise above the problem you just created with a new solution. And that can only occur when blood flow goes to that part of the brain. And we've seen in research that chronic stress actually causes shrinkage in the prefrontal cortex of the brain and increase brain activity and increase brain size in the back part of the brain. We can see this in soldiers who go to war, is that in being in a violent situation, their brain changes in size in that way.
Well, that's actually a good segue to another question that somebody had here, which was your thoughts on gender work environment in the U.S. military, given the current news of discrimination against women.
Oh, it's huge, and I'm so glad it's coming out. You see, what's finally happening is women are getting more voice. The women have an awareness just born into them. Maybe not all women have it. Whenever I talk in black and whites, there's always a range here, and some men have it. But women as a general whole have the ability to see what's wrong. I make jokes with my wife. If ever she says, if ever you can't make money, I can always get one of those jobs where you go into hotels as a client and find out everything wrong with the hotel. Okay, women just have this eye for doing it, and they actually have more cells in their eyes to see everything. I mean, it's amazing the differences which are there, the greater sensitivities to things, and the permission to express that. As that permission is coming out, which is what's happening in the Army, then we're being able to see this huge abuse towards women in that environment. And there has to be gender intelligence classes going on for the Army, not just in returning home, but also in going there. The military brought me to a whole meeting of generals in Europe. The wives demanded of their husbands for me to come and teach the Mars-Venus courses to them so they would re-enter into the world as humans instead of having all this divorce. And the wives were like insistent on it, and then the husbands dropped the program. They decided they had to do other things, not relationship skills. I mean, they were a blind spot. They didn't get that that's the solution to all these problems that they're having when these guys come back. But on the other side of this is when they're going into battle, if there's going to be women there, they need classes on gender intelligence. So if we look at a problem, any specific problem, like the increased rape that's going on, it's now being seen. Okay, once you look at that, you see a problem. Think of this like if you have a problem with the fish in your fish tank, and they're getting sick. You can think about trying to fix the fish, or you can realize the water has to be changed, and that's how you deal with it. We have to change the whole culture of the Army to be gender intelligent. We have to change the culture in the workplace to be gender intelligent. And reading my book will just point out the blind spots. It isn't the full solution. The full solution is when actual courses are taught. This is what I see happens when men are actually hearing women, and there's a workshop or an environment that gives permission for women to speak these things out, where the man doesn't feel he's being singled out, because then they get defensive and they don't hear. Mm-hmm. Also, I'll give a little subtlety that most people don't realize, is that back in the Greek days, when the Greek warriors would come home from the battle, the women would meet them, the young women would meet them in order to have sex with them to civilize them, to take them back into civilization. That was their system. You often hear generals say, war is war, war is a dirty thing. They're not giving you the whole detail. What happens when a man is in violence, he's in hyper, like five times more testosterone than he would normally experience in that kind of dangerous situation. This dramatically increases his libido huge. And one of the ways that we are designed as men actually to lower our testosterone back to normal is sex. So when my testosterone is too high, that's when I'm more interested in having sex with my wife, because it actually lowers it back to normal. So these are like interesting things in the physiology. They're not excuses, but it's understanding. And what we have to do is find an awareness and shine a spotlight on these behaviors. Otherwise, without a spotlight, behaviors don't change.
So I'd like to ask you a question of my own, since I've studied generational differences.
Can I add one other thing to that? Ultimately, what I'm saying here is that women have a civilizing effect on men. Women have a civilizing effect on men. And every parent sees it in your son when he gets a girlfriend. There's just, if you've been a parent with a son, women have this effect on men. And without women around, and this is proven now, when you get men just with men, or boys just with boys, you have Lord of the Rings. Not Lord of the Rings, you have Lord of the Flies, that's right. You want to have Lord of the Rings, but you end up with Lord of the Flies. That's where it goes to. There's got to be awareness and attention for kids. And as adults, men need the awareness of women. And as that's increasing and in a partnership, the world is going to change dramatically in a positive way.
Okay then. Let's see if I can civilize you now.
You have already, I think. And I want to thank my partner in this book. I don't take full credit for this. Barbara Annis has definitely tamed me down. And if I've Somebody just wrote to me, "You're such a sexist, terrible person. If I've offended someone, I don't mean to. You have to know my intent is always to try to bring us together."
Okay. So I've done a lot of research on generational differences, and I found that those gender issues are less prevalent in younger generations. What have you found? And I didn't see too much of that in your book. Would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, I didn't address that in this book, but I know that that is your expertise, mm-hmm. and I'm glad to see you've seen the same thing I've seen, which is generally until you have children or you're in your 30s, the gender differences don't show up that much. And our younger generation has seen the unfairness of mothers not getting what they needed from fathers, women expressing their discontent. And, you know, men are like, want to be fair. And so they're saying, okay, I'm willing to make that change. I'm willing to make that change. I want to make that change. And we do have an example in here of stories of women in our workshops who just said that, you know, it's such a shock because we go through college, and in college and business school, we're all working together as a team. And as soon as we get in the corporate environment, suddenly the guys change. They're extremely competitive. We are suddenly excluded. We lose that camaraderie. So when the stakes get higher, testosterone gets higher, that's where the differences begin to show up more. As well as, once you get married, the differences begin to show up a bit more. And of course, once you have children, now you're locked into the ancient relationship between men and women, which is interdependence. And that activates huge amounts of female hormones. Activates huge amounts of male hormones. So you start to see those differences show up at different times. You also see these changes happening when the boy is at 2 years old. There's certain changes that take place. At 13, there's certainly big changes for a girl and a boy. But when you start getting into that age where you're thinking about having a baby, the clock's ticking, those hormones are changing for you at that time. That's where these differences show up even more. So you don't see it as much with the young people. But I will point out that in terms of gender blindness, so there's a kind of a healthy gender blindness at that age. I would not have no criticism of it. I do have criticism of Scandinavian countries where they are completely gender blind in my experience. In the countries where there's the greatest equality in the world, and it's admirable between men and women, there's also the greatest gender blindness. Because the way they've achieved equality was by saying there's absolutely no difference between men and women. And there's so much difference between men and women. And the stress levels of women in Scandinavian countries are twice as high as men's. In the workplace, in this ideal equal environment, women's stress levels, as measured by their cortisol tests, are twice as high as a man's. And when those women go home, whether they're married or not, their cortisol levels are four times higher than the average male. And this is why you're seeing that women are having more heart attacks than men. Women are now used to live longer and now living less. Soon it will be less than men. And because stress levels are the most important critical thing for our happiness as well as for our health. And so women are facing a new challenge. This book addresses that by providing a more aware workplace where women's stress levels don't go up because their needs are being addressed rather than ignored. Behave like a man. Suck it up. Get the job done. Why are you concerned about that? As opposed to tell me more. That could be the title of the book too. Maybe another book.
So, you know, our physiology changes according to what we use, and our brain and the way that it operates, and our chemistry changes according to what we use. So I guess two questions, you know, separating man from beast is part of our ability to evolve and adapt. How much of these brain differences that you note in your book, do you see as permanent, and how malleable and adaptive do you think people are going to be as their gender roles change?
That is such a great question. Actually, I have sitting on the front row as a guest tonight is Warren Farrell, who's like the world's authority on men and how adaptable their brains are. Warren and I go on a walk every week and we debate this. So I tell him, look, no matter how adaptable I am, I'm not going to get as tall as you. So certain things don't change. There is certain wiring. Where you see lots of adaptability in the brain is we now know there's brain plasticity and there is adaptability. And that's the good news. I have learned. I know the change. When my wife starts talking, I relax. Most men start getting stressed. When she talks, I relax. When the women in my office start talking, I just sit back and go, okay, it's going to be an extra 5 minutes, but I'm going to get lots of points for it. They're going to be bragging to everybody. Another secret about women that men don't know. They did a big study. When a woman feels satisfied in an experience, a positive experience, whether it's a client or an employee, she will go out and tell 32 people. She will. If it's a bad experience, she's going to advertise how bad you are. 32 people. She'll go talk. Men, they'll only talk to 3 people, and only if the subject comes up. Women are the ultimate marketers. You know, I remember once being in my dentist's office, and the dentist, you know, I'm sitting there, he's always talking to me, and you can't talk back. He's asking me questions. it's like blindness. But when he's working on my mouth, of course, that's usually stressful. He has a team of women helping him. Excuse me for the women dentist, but my dentist is a male who has a team of women helping him. And those women are constantly complimenting him. My, that was a good job. That looks just perfect. And I'm like, yes, tell me more. It's the harmony in the workplace. When women have a positive experience in a workplace, people go, that's the place I want to buy. That's the place I want to go. That's the company I want to rise up in. That's the secret to all of this. Adaptability, I'll come back to the question. So as a male, I'm bragging as a male for a moment, having done these trainings, having listened to women, I now have adapted to my brain so that when women talk or when we say we need to take more time, I relax and I go, I have time. Ultimately, that is called the ability to delay gratification. The ability to delay gratification. And this is the number one trait that you can see in children when they're growing up that will determine whether they're successful later in life. And if a man can learn to listen, you're forced to learn to delay gratification because his brain wants to jump right to the target. My brain says, hey, the target is to get all of us together. And I've made that adaptation. But for most men, they feel if we don't do something physically about it, their stress levels are going up. Mine relax because I know we'll get to that. But I know there'll be benefit, a bigger benefit from having more conversation and more understanding. And that's just one little example of adaptation. So those adaptations are possible. At the same time, nothing is going to change the hormonal system in my body. As a man, if I have high estrogen, the female hormone, and I have low testosterone, then I'll have a heart attack. And this is proven. High estrogen in men, the average male today has half the testosterone that he had as a young man at 50 years old. I'm 61 and mine's 25% higher. This is in indigenous cultures, men's testosterone levels do not go down. And our culture, they do. For a variety of reasons I explain in the book. But estrogen levels are higher in men. Men are being feminized. The last thing you want is a feminized male. What you want is a man who's learned to be a better man. Alpha male. Who can also take care of his children, be with his wife, be with his family. Healthy testosterone levels. Because it's only when men's testosterone goes down that men become grumpy, irritable, rigid, impatient, exclusive, meaning we got to do this, we can't look at anything else. All these are symptoms of stress in a man, and stress in a man is always low testosterone. For women, stress in a woman is always low oxytocin. One is one of the major oxytocin producers when a woman feels heard, when a woman feels considered, when a woman feels part of a team, when a woman feels she's contributing. All of that is going to increase her oxytocin level. It's a few small changes sometimes, that's the bottom line. But it takes a growing awareness to remember to do that. And that's the adaptation that can occur.
Okay, we just have a few minutes left, so I want to get in a couple more questions from the audience. So this person writes in and wants to know what type of business is most and least sensitive to differences between men and women. So from your experience, which type of businesses do a...
Well, here's the interesting thing. In the publishing business that I'm in, it's now primarily dominated by women. But in an industry which is primarily dominated by women or primarily dominated by men does not bring out the best in men or women. There's actually studies showing that women behave poorly when there's no men around. Men behave poorly when there's no women around. It's actually when we're actually interacting that we bring out the best in each other. Which is why many of us spend our whole life looking for someone of the opposite sex if we're heterosexual. There's that influence of the male and female coming together in harmony, not at war, but in harmony, creativity comes forth.
That makes sense. So,
by the way, she just used the secret word. I like to give practical tips. How do you build a man up? You see, you're talking with a guy, you want to lower his stress, you want to create his interest in you. Little things can make a huge difference. What she did is one of them. Whenever a man talks, say something, when he pauses, that makes sense. He'll think, what did I say? I can't, you'll just try this down. He will never get sick of hearing it. It will not get. You say, good idea. Oh, yeah, okay, I've got that good idea down there. You know, we're hungry for those kinds of. And I'm not saying women can't benefit from that. I'm saying men will benefit 100 times more. See, anytime he's done something, testosterone goes up. His stress level goes down. Occasionally, you don't do this all the time. Occasionally, give him the real treat. Brilliant.
John. John, you're doing a fabulous job.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Really, really good.
I'm glowing with testosterone now.
And so let's get to another question from the audience. You guys all think he's doing great too, right? Yeah, there we
thank
go.
You.
Okay. Are men or women tougher, less tough, or the same in the way that they treat members of their own sex in business? That's a great question.
Oh, and I think that the one that stands out here is when a woman rises up out of the group, women are really hard on her. Like, who do you think you are to be boss? When a man's playing boss, well, he's a guy. Guys get a lot of permission to misbehave to a certain extent. But women are very critical of other women who are rising up. It's like, who do you think you are? And, you know, women can be that way with how women dress even. You know, I have daughters. We go on vacation. It's like, look what she's wearing. What are you going to wear? Can't believe she's wearing that. A lot of conversation about clothes and food and what we're going to eat and whatever when women are relaxed. Okay, so there's different topics that we tend to focus on. But women tend to be really hard on women. And most women know that when you dress up, you're often dressing for women. Because men don't even notice what you're wearing. And we'll notice more if you're not wearing. Sorry if I had to throw that in.
Okay.
That's where my partner in the book, that's where Barbara, my partner in the book, would give me a really dirty look. That was bad enough.
Moving right along.
Oh, yes, right.
Another question from the audience. I work in a male-dominated industry. Our sole way of celebrating success is entertainment through drinking and sports. How does an industry with gender intelligence change that, and as a result be able to attract more women employees?
Exactly. I'll give one example. I was just at the Yankee Stadium with the owner of Yankee Stadium. I'm sitting at third base watching the Yankee game. They won 2 nights ago. They lost the next day. I wasn't there, but I was the good luck charm. That's how a guy takes credit for the whole game. It was because I was there. But I'm sitting with him, and one of the radio shows that night, a woman called in and said, you know, I worked there, and I quit because, men in sports, it's such a high testosterone activity. They just tend to be oblivious of women. Unless you just adapt and become like a guy, you're just not going to feel comfortable there. So what does it take? Well, this is the guy who owns Yankee Stadium. He did 5 podcasts with me to send out to all his people. He wants to have me teach gender intelligence to all of them. You talk to people at the high level of company. These people got to the high level of company, generally speaking, because they're highly motivated to be successful. And if you show them with some logic what can make you more successful, they jump at it. It's a pot of gold under your house. You just don't know it's there. Men don't know what they don't know. Once they know what they don't know, then they go, hey, let's find out. This is good stuff. But it's the ideal thing is getting it at the top. And when you get to the top, and they see how it benefits them and their board meetings, then suddenly they mean, I want this for everybody. And big company, American Express, huge thing. You know, when I told the story of my manager, Helena, to the president of American Express, in his closing speech, he said, this has changed my life. You know, I just realized I don't take the time. I just was acknowledging people for the results, not for the journey. And I've been getting all this feedback that, you know, this is so significant. He didn't even know. So these people are willing to make the change. It's just somebody has to point it out to them. And this is the first book ever to point this out in this way.
I think we have time for just one more question with a really quick answer. How can a guy find context to behavior?
Oh, the short answer to that last question is quit and become an entrepreneur. Until the top gets this idea and trickles down, it's not going to happen.
Okay, you're going to have to be really fast on this one now, John.
I am fast.
How can a guy find context of behavior and action when his female boss acts more like a man than he does?
What was the first part of the question?
Well, how can a guy find context of behavior and action when his female boss... You know, what do you do when your female boss acts more like a man than you do when you're a guy?
Well, quite often, men like that. But sometimes men don't like it when it's a woman being aggressive and she hasn't learned how to be assertive like a guy. There's a fine line between aggression and assertiveness. And if you're a woman and you're into that mode of fight or flight, your assertiveness often shows up as bullying. And I have a whole section in this book about, you know, women behaving badly. And this happened back in the 90s when there were all these CEOs right here in this Bay Area and down in San Jose and that whole area with the whole dot-com boom. Suddenly these women are CEOs and they made them take support groups. You know, I have a neighbor who was this big CEO, hates me because she got 32 of my book. You know, everybody was sitting here, this, you got to understand how to behave. But she was shifting over to the power structure, being in a position of power. She had to learn how to do that. You know, it's men are like trained to be that way, taught to be that way from childhood. Don't show emotions. Don't do certain things. And so she was sort of combining the whole thing. So I would not, you know, if a woman thinks like a man, she can get along with men really well, but sometimes she won't. That's a more personal thing. Sheryl Sandberg, for example, she's made it all the way to the top. And she's telling women the way she got there was not by making men enemies. It's understanding the way men think. If you understand the way men think, you don't take offense at their behavior. Then you befriend those men, and then they mentor you and help you get up. My challenge to women is, as you're becoming and thinking like a man, don't give up your virtues of a woman, having both those things together.
All right. Excellent closing idea there, John.
Balance.
Balance. Okay.
And fast, too.
Fast. Our thanks to Dr. John Gray, noted relationship expert and author of the new book, Work With Me, The Blind Spots Between Men and Women in Business. We also thank our audience here and on the radio, television, and on the Internet. This program has been held in association with the Commonwealth Club's Business and Leadership Forum. We want to remind everyone that copies of Dr. Gray's new book are on sale in the lobby, and he'll be pleased to sign them outside this room following the program. We appreciate your allowing him to make his way to the signing table as quickly as possible. I'm Dr. Kit Yarrow, and now this meeting of the Commonwealth of California, the place where you're in the know, is adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all.